Dear friends, the latest issue of Reader's Digest tells the story of a girl named Piper Breinholt, who was born with cerebrocostomandibular syndrome, a genetic disorder that affects the ribs and the jaw and other parts of the bodies in rather unpredictable ways. Truth be told, it was a miracle that Piper survived birth. She's now 4 years old, and she's never spent a day at home. She's only been in hospitals her entire life. As you can imagine, financial concerns loom large over this family, and yet, in reading their story, it is clear that Piper's parents will do whatever is necessary to provide for the best care of their daughter. We meet a mom like that in today's gospel reading. Her daughter has a horrible affliction, and I think many of us can identify with a parent who is willing to do whatever it takes to get help for their child. And this mom has an excellent idea. She's going to turn to Jesus for help. Now, a couple details about this woman. She is a Canaanite, and Canaanites were ancient enemies of Israel. She is as far from being part of the in crowd as you could possibly be. And yet, somewhere along the line, she has heard about this Jesus, and she's heard enough to believe that he can help her daughter. What's more, she's heard enough that when she finally comes face to face with Jesus, she addresses him as Lord and Son of David. That means she's linking Jesus to the prophecies about the coming Messiah. In other words, she gets it. She gets who Jesus is, and she believes he has the power to help her. She believes that Jesus is for everyone, including Canaanite women. But is he? At first, quite frankly, it's hard to tell. His disciples try to get rid of her. Her persistence is causing a commotion and making them feel uncomfortable. Besides, she's not part of their race or religion. So they plead with Jesus to make her go away. But this mom keeps it up. She follows them around. She's making a scene. And she's making it for the sake of her daughter. And she's not letting go of this because she knows who Jesus is and what he can do. What she has heard about Jesus and what she knows deep down is that he is for everyone, including Canaanite women and their children. But is he? Is he really? The disciples wish she would just go away. And after Jesus seems to ignore her for a while, this is what he says. I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. This is a decisive moment. A moment at which many might have given up hope and turned around and left. There is something propelling this woman forward, abandoning all pride. She throws herself to the ground and kneels before Jesus, saying, Lord, help me. And if I were a screenwriter, this would be the point at which the music would swell, and a ray of light would shine down through the clouds, and Jesus would take this woman by the hand and make everything better. But instead, Jesus says something shocking. He says, it's not right to take food for the children and throw it to the dogs. Now, if Jesus were a pastor and he said this to a parishioner, his name would be on a bunch of call lists the next day. If the Canaanite woman was the easily offended type, she would have had all the ammunition she needed right here to go into a full-scale rant. But here's the thing, and this is what I hope you walk away with today, having met this woman in Matthew's gospel. She knows it's not about her. She's not coming to Jesus with the attitude that he owes her something. Look at what she says. She says to Jesus, "I would be happy with your scraps, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus, the crumbs from your table would be enough for me." And it's at this point that Jesus releases the tension. It's the disciples' turn to be shocked as their teacher praises this woman for her great faith and grants her request, healing her daughter at once. This whole exchange between Jesus and the Canaanite woman boomerangs back on the disciples without having to say anything to them directly. The message was sent, "I am for everyone, even Canaanite women. I am for everyone who believes in me and what I can do. It's not about gender. It's not about race. It's not about class or social standing. It's about faith in me. Do you have it? It's the only thing that matters." I wonder if we've really taken this element of Jesus' kingdom message to heart. But back to this Canaanite mom, and there's two things that we can learn from her that I don't want you to miss. The first, and I touched on this before, is that when she came to Jesus, she based her appeal not on who she was, but on who Jesus was. Again, she didn't come to Jesus with the attitude that he owed her something. She took a worshiper's posture, and that's saying it the nice way. A better way to say it would be she took a beggar's posture. She came to Jesus with the attitude that he didn't owe her a thing, but she knew who he was. She knew what he could do. He didn't have to do anything, but just a crumb from him would be enough to change her daughter's life. She put all her eggs in one basket labeled Jesus, the Son of David. And that's what faith does. Faith like this, it's a gift. It's possible for you to have this gift. But there's a lot of repenting and unlearning that we need to do. Too often we approach Jesus not on the basis of who he is, but on who we are. Too often we harbor the attitude that God does owe us something, and this attitude has roots that run deep. It's the idea that I try to be good and do good. I go to church. I put my offering in the basket. I pray every day. Therefore, I deserve fill in the blank. But do you see the foolishness in that idea? Do you see the self-deception that's there? If we're being honest, we'll admit that sin still spills out of our hearts and our minds and our mouths. We still ruin things. We still hide hateful, lustful, greedy thoughts inside and try not to let them surface, but they do. Worse yet, we rebel against God's claim on our lives, sometimes actively, sometimes passively, but always with the core value of, I want to be the one who calls the shots. I want to do what I want to do. The Bible says that deserves serious punishment. The sobering reality is that God doesn't owe you or me or anyone anything. And he really ought to make me pay for my sins. But he is merciful. And he's not going to do that because he's done it already to his son on the cross. And not only is God merciful, but he is gracious, giving us good and wonderful, priceless gifts for no other reason than he wants to. He loves you. That's why. When Martin Luther died, it's reported that the last thing that he scribbled down on a piece of paper was the sentence, "Wir sind alle Pettler." Translated, "We are all beggars." I used to think that that was kind of a downer, you know, kind of a bleak way for the great reformer to go out, those being his last words, but I've come to see they're true. We are all beggars before God. He doesn't owe us a thing. Being able to call yourself a child of God depends 100% on the fact that he is merciful. And when this is the foundation of your life with God, you'll be able to really and truly appreciate the depth of his generosity. You'll also begin to see your relationships in a different light. Understanding and patience can develop when you move away from a "you owe me" mentality. Imagine what your most important relationships would be like if you stop keeping score. I know what some of you are thinking. I could never do that. I'd get walked all over. I'd be taken advantage of, and so on and so forth. Well, I beg to differ. Let go of that "you owe me" mentality, and you'll finally be free. Free to forgive. Free of the burden you have to lug around. That scorebook gets pretty heavy after a while. Drop it. Be merciful as your Father is merciful. In making her request, the Canaanite woman focused on Jesus, not herself. Now here's on Jesus. She remained persistent in her plea for help because she believed Jesus had the power and the ability to do something, to change things. And she remained persistent. She kept on coming, even when it seemed to be getting her nowhere. As we saw, Jesus did not respond to her cries immediately. He seemed to be ignoring her. And then when he did respond, it was discouraging at first. If you've been a Christian for any amount of time at all, then you know how it feels to pray and then sense no immediate change. You know what it's like to pray for God's help and then to have even more discouraging news come your way. When that happens, people get mad, people give up, but the Canaanite mother shows us another option. Simply put, that other option is to be faithfully stubborn. Now, do you understand what I mean when I say faithfully stubborn? Look at that mom one more time. She's heard what Jesus can do. She's heard what Jesus is like. She'd be happy with any leftover help he'd be willing to give because it came from him. And no disciple is going to get in the way of that. And when Jesus tests her with these little verbal jabs, she passes. Because she is faithfully stubborn. She won't let go of Jesus. Nothing will turn her away from the thought that he is for her. And in response, Jesus brings great blessing into her life. He gives what she asks, and she already has everything that she needs. Just a little faith in a great God. Let me encourage you today to be faithfully stubborn with God. Hold Him to the promises that He has made to you. Appeal to Him, not on the basis of who you are, but on who He is. Be persistent when there's only silence. Be persistent when there's only bad news coming back, because you know deep down He is a merciful God and a gracious God, and His ways are mysterious beyond our figuring out. Trust in the purpose and will of God. Don't let go of Jesus. Revisit and remember His cross, His agony, His suffering, and His death. Because there at the cross, it is so clear Jesus is for everyone. Jesus is for you. Amen.